Luke 22 tonight, if you would. Luke 22. I wasn't planning on crying tonight, but I already got started, and so we might see a little more of that. I'll do my best not to, but we'll just kind of see. If you found Luke 22, we'll begin reading verse 31 if you're willing and able to stand in honor of God's word tonight. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Title of the message tonight is Faith in Change. Faith in Change. God in heaven, Lord, I need you tonight, and I ask that you'd help me. Give me strength, and Lord, help me to preach your word, but in the way that you want and not the way that I want. And Lord, that you'd work in our hearts, we'd open our hearts to you. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be pleased and glorified and honored. I pray the same in your holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So I stole this illustration from a preacher friend who used it when I heard him preach one time. And a friend in the ministry, and so I didn't ask for permission, that's okay. So we're just going to do it anyways, but it fits our message tonight. Now, I know that we have people here in our church. I'm looking around, and I think I counted three tonight who have a history in prison work. Working in whether military or state-run or federal prisons. And then I counted three more that are within our church that do the same thing currently, actively, that aren't here tonight. And so this is that kind of area where we have a lot of that going on. And I'm going to... I've been to some prison ministries. That's not prison work. I get that. I understand that. I was part of a juvenile detention center ministry. And then here, it looks like I'll be accepted into... I've gone with the group that goes once a fall, once a spring into the military prison. But it looks like I'm going to be accepted to kind of come and go as I please in ministry. There, which is going to be pretty neat, and maybe we'll expand that to some other men in our church who want to help out with that. But it has to get that ball has to get rolling first. But I talked to the chaplain about a week and a half ago, and he said basically I'm in. So you know, but that in no way allows me to speak with authority on prison work. Now, here's what I am going to attempt to do. Or I'm going to pretend to do. I'm going to try to speak with what sounds like authority on how to escape from prison. Okay? Okay, so, you know, I'm not going to find out. I'm not going to ask how many of you have been to prison before. Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know. But I am going to ask how many of you have escaped from prison before. Okay, well, we have a couple that raise their hand. That's great. You've escaped. I escape every time I'm in there. It's I get out of those doors. I'm like, I'm free. But we praise God that He allows us to get past our past. Amen. Whatever it may be. Anyways, back to the illustration. I was just kind of being silly there. Raise your hand if you grew up watching World War II movies. Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you consider those World War II movies and especially the POW movies and things like that, if somebody wanted to escape from a POW camp, maybe in Japan or in Germany, what would be the best time for them to do that? I'm going to go ahead and poll the audience here. What would be the best time for somebody to escape a POW camp? Say it out loud. And most people said nighttime. That's not necessarily true. I'm gonna do one better than that. All right, shift change time. At the changing of the guard, or at the shift change, whether it's nighttime or daytime, preferably nighttime when there's a shift change. But when you watch the movies, you find out, you know, that they have it all planned out. They know exactly when the guards are gonna shift, when they're going to get the new guy in and the old guy out and that kind of thing. Some would say maybe when one of them falls asleep, you know, or something like that. But the time of transition, that's what it was. It was transition time. That was the best time. Guards were distracted. There was always a window, a sliver of opportunity for escape, and it was a transition time that would give them that opportunity. And so those transition times were opportunities for freedom if you're the prisoner. And it would have been, that transition time was also an opportunity for failure if you're the guard. Transitions are opportunities for both parties. And in life, when it comes to transitions, we're often more like the guard. How we treat transitions could make or break us. Now, this is a message that is definitely, you know, pointed to our young ladies tonight, but I also believe it's a message for all of us that we need to apply in any time of our lives. And I almost had the young ladies come sit up front right here, but I decided not to make them feel awkward in doing that. I'm sure they're grateful for that, right? I just heard thanks right there. But while this is a message directed at them, this is a message that we don't need to remove ourselves from the application of either. It's something that all of us need in our lives, and just realize the importance of this application in my life as well. And I think all of us can say the same thing. Because if you're not careful, how you treat transitions in your life could be the times that you let your guard down. They're in a point of transition right now, but maybe somebody else here tonight is as well, or they know a point of transition is coming up. And during transitions, you're the guard. There's been a change. See, you're distracted and things are changing and things may not be the same and things are up in the air. And how you deal with that transition could mean risk of failure, or it could mean the beginning of a very successful outcome. And that's the goal. Amen. And the text we read here tonight, Luke 22, is a warning from Jesus Christ right before a major transition. All the disciples were about to go through something that they were not prepared for. Just a few verses later, Jesus is arrested. He is put on trial to be crucified. The disciples had been following him for 3 years. So you'd have to think their pattern of life is pretty good. Their pattern of life is pretty set. They've been with Jesus for some time. For over 3 years, Jesus was there. Their daily life surrendered on Christ's schedule. And so when Judas betrays Jesus a few verses later and they arrest Jesus and they take him away, man, that's a big transition. That's an unexpected transition. Sometimes there's some unexpected transitions that come up in our lives, aren't there? And so knowing that is what is coming, let's look at verse 31 again. And we know what's coming. And so with that in mind, consider these verses. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." So what is Jesus saying? First of all, I think it's amazing that Jesus told Peter, "I'm praying for you." I mean, think about that. That's awesome. But understand, John 17 is a chapter that tells us Jesus prayed for us. And he ever maketh intercession for us as well, the Bible says. But what is Jesus saying here? He's telling Peter, with the other disciples that are hearing as well, that something is about to happen. He's saying, Peter, there is a major transition that is about to take place. And if you're not careful, it will either make you or break you. And this period of time almost breaks Peter for good. I mean, the presence of Christ had loomed so large in his life. Everything he did was about the Lord. Now, from the very beginning, he left his nets. He left his his occupation. He left everything to follow Jesus. And now suddenly Jesus is leaving. And actually Jesus, at the point when Jesus did leave, Peter wasn't ready for it. And Satan desired to have him. But I want to remind us tonight that Satan desires to have us. And I want to remind you, young ladies, that Satan desires to have you. And Satan desires to have your family, and he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to break you. We talked about it this morning. Satan desires to deceive and to divide and to destroy. And man, he's always been that way, hasn't he? He's always wanted to, and he always tries to sift you as wheat. However, there are certain times, while he's always wanted to do it, there are certain times where he capitalizes on it. Certain times where he sees us as vulnerable, as easy prey. And this time in the life of these young ladies marks a time of transition. They are moving on to new things, new decisions, new experiences, new friends, new relationships, a new environment, at least for a temporary time. We'll see. We'll hear in a little bit of some of their plans that they have coming up. And this transition that they're in is nowhere near being over. It may seem like they haven't even begun this transition because maybe they just finished school or are finishing school, or maybe a whole lot feels the same, but also a lot feels very much like transition. And the reason is for that is because it is transition. And for one, I know this transition started really before the others, several months ago. For the others, the transition days are just beginning. Question, is a newly married couple still in transition after a handful of months of marriage? Absolutely. Are we still in transition after 23 years of marriage, babe? Are they still learning each other after several months of marriage? Yes. Are they committed to make it work during the learning process? Absolutely. They're still in transition. Maybe for the rest of us, maybe we're still in transition regarding something in our lives or something new in our lives, and Satan wants to take every opportunity to sift you, to take you down spiritually. And please don't get me wrong, we are all overly joyed with all that God is. Listen, young ladies, we're excited about what God is doing in your lives, but we are also dependent upon God with what God is doing in your lives. And listen, anytime there's a transitional life, some people like change, some people don't like change. Some people can roll with the flow, and some people can't. But either way, we've got to be dependent on God in any moment of transition in our lives. If you let your guard down, that might be the time that Satan comes and tries to attack you with even more fervor. And I'm talking about in any area of your life, not just in those graduating from high school studies. I'm talking about in my life, Tad LaGrosse. I'm talking about in your life, when there's a change in the family, a new marriage, a new baby, the death of a loved one, a new job, the loss of a job, a new church, a new pastor, or a new health situation, a new financial situation, a retirement. I mean, we can go on and on with this list of things that fit into that category of transition. When there is transition, there is the opportunity for success and there is the opportunity for failure. And Satan is going to intently work to render you ineffective for Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, what does it say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are forces, listen to me, there are forces that are attempting to destroy the work of the Lord, and you are no exception. This church is no exception. Young ladies, you're no exception. Your family is no exception. When I think about the transitions of life, when you think about the transitions you've gone through in your life, some are going through some now, other than just these young ladies. Maybe you've been going through some transitions over the last 2 to 3 years, and with the changes of people and jobs and finances. And listen, this church is the ministries in this area, they're revolving door ministries. We have transitions all the time with the military coming in and going, and then you might have transitions with loved ones and church members, and we have transitions in our in politics with presidents, and on and on and on. When we think of a new transition, I'm just saying that Satan desires to have us, that he may sift you as wheat. And I just want you young ladies to get this tonight. Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat as well. That's what he wants to do. And there's nothing I've seen that has prompted a concern necessarily. Nothing that has been done to make me extra worried. There's nothing that I know of going on in our church that has me worried about transition in anybody's life. But I'm just saying, I don't want us to let our guard down. Because there is no more of a vulnerable time than during a shift change or a major transition. And Satan wants nothing more than to get his foot in the door and render us useless for God. How many true voices for God? How many churches actually preach the truth and stand up for right in this community? Not many. And Satan wants to take Northwest Baptist Church, a church that does believe the truth about God's word. And I know we're not the only ones in the Kansas City metropolitan area that does so, but he wants to take those churches that stand on God's word and render those churches ineffective. Listen, Satan wants these doors to close. And he'd love for every God-fearing church to stop fulfilling its mission. Now, another question. In our world, how many young ladies are there that serve God? How many young ladies do you see when you walk through Walmart that live holy, chaste lives, that are saving themselves for marriage, that please God with their dress and their music and their speech and their relationships and their testimony? Can I say not many? Not many. Satan wants to take the ones that are and render them ineffective. He wants to shut them down. He wants to shut their families down. He wants to shut your family down. He wants to shut this church down. He wants us to do nothing for God. I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight, but you are being hunted right now. If you're a Christian, you're being hunted. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, be in your right mind. Listen, young ladies, be on guard, be aware. I'm not trying to scare anyone or be negative in any way, but I do want us to be aware. We ought to be aware. Guess who wrote those words? Peter. The one, the same man that Jesus looked at. The same man in our text that Jesus looked at and said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Years later, Peter is writing, be sober, be vigilant. Satan is seeking whom he may devour. I think Satan knew what he was talking about here. If anyone knows about the sifter, it's Peter. And we should listen. And from the time Satan attacked Eve in the Garden of Eden to the time he is thrown into the lake of fire after the millennial reign and his attempted comeback, Satan has one goal, and that is to destroy God's people. And he's just, man, I picture National Geographic, you know? And I picture that animal in the savannah, in the tall grass, and just we're just drinking water. We're just those unaware animals drinking water, and we're not really paying attention, and Satan's ready to attack. Just crouched down, just watching and waiting patiently for us to be vulnerable. Ephesians 6 says he's wily and crafty, and he's throwing fiery darts. And listen, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you know somebody who he has sifted many of God's people, hasn't he? In God's churches, and he has attacked when their guard was down. People who thought they could stand, people who thought they were strong in the faith. And if we're not careful, he'll come during a transition. In our text, Jesus tells Peter that Satan wants something. And it's almost like Peter doesn't even listen, or like Peter doesn't even pay attention. He kind of just ignores what Jesus is telling him. And he tells Jesus, he says, I'm ready to die for you. I'll die for you, Jesus. So I might say, Pastor, why did Satan almost have complete victory in Peter? Here's why. Because Peter didn't have an appropriate awareness of his power. I don't want to be sifted. You don't want to be sifted. You don't want your families to be sifted. We don't want these young ladies to be sifted. They don't want to be sifted. So what are mistakes we can avoid in transition? Transitions have to happen. Transitions are a necessary part of life. So what are some mistakes that can be avoided in transition so that we're not sifted? To answer that, you have to look at Peter's mistakes. Well, what were they? Well, look at chapter 22, verse 54. Mistake number one. He let distance come between himself and Jesus Christ. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Read these words out loud with me. Ready, begin. And Peter followed afar off. Jesus had been arrested. And Peter follows afar off. Peter spent over 3 years right by Jesus' side. And now he's following afar off because he's afraid. Very often the first thing to slip in your transition time is your closeness with Jesus. Your schedule is different. Everything's haywire. Things are up in the air. You got a new job. There's some exciting things in this. You got a new job in this situation with these young ladies. You got a new school, college. You're going to have new friends, a new location, new relationships. And that's just right now. That's just in this current situation. There's more to come and in the months ahead, and much more will happen. And with the rest of us that have gone through it and things have happened or maybe are happening, like a new baby or a new house or a new location or a new health situation or retirement or loss of a loved one or a relationship issues, what have you. The first thing to slip in these kind of transitions far too often is often your closeness with Jesus Christ. And that's the last thing that needs to slip. It shouldn't slip at all. So what happens is you might get out of the habit you've been in. You might think, you know, one day's fine, Pastor. Whether it's missing a service or missing your Bible reading or missing prayer or whatever. But see, what happens is one turns to two. And if you're like me, it doesn't take long to get out of the habit and form a new habit of not doing things. And you have a habit of not having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You're no longer close to Jesus. And transition is the worst time to allow distance between you and Jesus Christ. There is no good time to allow that. But transition is the worst time, because you need Jesus Christ in those times more than any other time. I'm going to say that again. Transition is the time when you need Jesus Christ the most. You need his closeness. Your relationship with him is more crucial at those times than any other time. Listen, when somebody in your life leaves, or when somebody comes and somebody leaves, it's a transition time. It's important that you not slip in your closeness to Jesus. When you move away, even for a few months at college, and you get away from those who love you, and you get away from those who know you and love you more fiercely than anyone else will ever love you in your life, and you get around those other people who are also in transition stage in their lives, it's important time to get as close as you possibly can to Jesus Christ. Listen, church family, when God closes a door on one job and opens a door on another, it's time for you to get close to Jesus. When health changes and finances change and people change, and it's time for you to get close to Jesus. Don't let the closeness slip like Peter did. Because Satan's always trying to get you. But during a transition time, he knows it's possible to distance you from your protection. And it's at this time of transition in your life that you need to determine, I will not leave his side. John went with him all the way to the cross. Why not Peter? See, here's what Peter should have said when Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And Peter said, but I'm going to die with you. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and death. That's what Peter said. But here's what he should have said.
Should have said, what, Jesus?
Satan's out to get me? Well, you're God, so you know. What should I do? What decision should I make now? Satan's out to attack me. What's my next step that I should take? Lord, I need to be closer to you. I don't need to be prideful and say, I got this. I need to be humble and say, Lord, I need your help. Where do we go from here? But instead, he said boastfully and pridefully, I'll die with you. This is an important statement right here. Your own walk with God will determine some very important things in your life. Your walk with God. Right? We want to think that our decisions we make in life is going to be the determining factor for important things. And they are. But let me say this. Your walk with God is going to determine how you make those decisions. And the closer you are to Jesus, the less defensive you are. You talk about how Satan gets his foot through the door, and that's through offense. I'm not talking about, you know, a fence. I'm talking about being offended. When we're not right with the Lord and we're not as close with God as we need to be, then we are not seeing things as clearly as we need to see them. And it seems like we are bothered by everything else. We're defensive. Psalm 119, 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, maybe you can finish it, and nothing shall what? Offend them. If you're not close to Christ tonight, that means you're not in his word. And if you're not in the word of God, that means you're not more likely to be offended by everything. And I'm just imploring us tonight, it's important for us to stay close to Jesus Christ. Young ladies in this transition, you go off to college here in a couple months, and stay close to Jesus. You get a new job, stay close to Jesus. You get new relationships, stay close to Jesus. Listen, when something happens that you don't like in your family or at your workplace or even at church, it can be offensive to you. I'm just saying stay close to Jesus Christ so that it's not offensive to you. Church people, often when Satan takes down a family or a good working relationship at your job or something else, when Satan takes down a church, it's usually not with a bulldozer to the front door. He's going to start between this brother and that brother, or between this sister and that sister, or this pastor and that church member. And during a transition, when everyone's guard is down and things are different and you kind of loosen up on a few things, when you don't work on staying close to Jesus Christ, everything bothers you. I'm just saying there's no more important time for closeness to Jesus than right now. And this is important, not only for these young ladies, but it's no less important for me as a pastor, and it's no less important for the one sitting in the pew. You've got to stay close to Jesus. If you're not, then you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit. If you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit, then you're going to produce the works of the flesh. And when somebody's in that frame of mind, listen, watch out. When a child of God is in that frame of mind, be careful. It's transition time. You need Christ now more than ever. When you look around at this world needs him more than ever. Amen? We need to be close to him more than ever. Because we want to be used. We want to reach our community. We want people added to the church. We want to see people saved. We prayed about that tonight in the men's prayer time. See people saved and see people baptized and serving and working together. This world is going downhill fast, and we need the closeness of Jesus to be effective. And you young ladies, you want to be effective wherever God is leading you. I know that you do. I know that's your desire. I'm grateful for that. Get close to Christ. Make that your priority. Your college GPA is important. Christ is more important. Your job is important. Jesus is more important. Your new relationships are important. Jesus is the greatest relationship you'll ever have. What can be more important than Christ? Nothing. Nothing. Refuse to allow distance between you and your Savior. That was Peter's first mistake. His second mistake is this. Look at verse 55, chapter 2, verse 55. He sat down among them. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. You might say, what's wrong with that? I mean, Jesus was around the lost, right? He ate with the publicans and sinners. He was around unbelievers all the time. Well, that's true, but what was his reason? Jesus was there to reach them. Jesus was there to tell them about sin, tell them about God's judgment, God's forgiveness, and tell them how they can go to heaven, right? Peter is not here soul winning, is he? His reason is to hide, to blend in. And here's another danger in transition time. You might find yourself withdrawing from the people you need the most in your life, and you might find yourself in a different circle to associate with. You might say, well, young ladies, I'm finally out of high school. Girls, that was a great opportunity for you to say amen. I'm finally out of high school. All right, good. Finally, now it's pretty soon, if you're going somewhere for college for a few months or a year or 2 years or however long, I'm finally out of the house. Oh, boy. All right. At least for a little bit. Until you find out you have no money and you need mom and dad again. And you're that 35-year-old, 40-year-old kid in the house. But you might be thinking, I can finally do what I want. No one will ever know what I'm doing. I finally have freedom. No one will notice. These new people, well, they don't know me well, so they won't care. And I mean, you've been looking for an opportunity to make a change anyways. You can't wait for the opportunity for that change. And since things are changing and it's transition time, let's make our change. We've been desiring for so long. And let me just say, listen, church family, we're all like that at different times in our lives. Things are changing. So you might have that desire, and so-and-so is left, or things aren't quite what they used to be, and people have done that with life transitions and pastoral transitions and job transitions and church transitions, and some of that can be a good thing. I mean, COVID was actually helpful in some ways for some churches to kind of re-establish some things that needed to be established, and I understand all that, but God is clear that his plan for edifying people to be more like Jesus Christ is through the church. So church is not something that we can just bypass at our own discretion. And if you kind of back away from what you need, you kind of back away from it. And you, it's a time of transition, so you're just getting away from what you actually need. You're going to end up filling that void with something else that you don't need. This isn't just for the young ladies, this is for us too. Most people attach themselves to something that's familiar, that feels good, family, sports, work, whatever. And the one thing that ought to be at the top of our list is church. Because if that's not at the top, it's easy to become imbalanced. And we make the non-spiritual things the top. We've removed the most crucial spiritual voice to influence us spiritually. You have your Bible reading and prayer time, but if we remove ourselves from that spiritual voice, we remove that what God has established. I've known a lot of godly people who have backed off of the things of God and started hearing louder voices, non-spiritual voices. And those things took priority in their lives. Peter and his disciples, well, they parted ways at this time of transition. That strong circle that they had a strong circle. It was broken apart. And Peter not only finds himself distanced from Christ that we talked about earlier, but he replaced that void of that circle of influence that he had, the spiritual influence that Christ had helped to establish there. And Peter broke from that. The disciples went their own ways and they no longer have that. So Peter fills that void with something else. And he sits amongst these people around the fire here. And he distances himself from Christ and he sits amongst them. It says, who's them? Around a fire with non-believers. He sat down to warm himself by the world's fire. He jumped into a new circle that wasn't going to help him spiritually. And the circle he chose was what took him down. If he had been around the disciples or he had followed Jesus closely, we wouldn't have this story about Jesus denying Christ three times. The circle you choose is either, listen to me, this is so important, it's going to push you closer to Christ or it's going to draw you away from Christ. And in transition is not the time to detach yourself from Christ or his church. These are the ones that influence you spiritually. This is your family. Amen? This is your family. This is your community. This is where spiritual voices are coming from. And here's the thing. The world's fire seemed warm. But it will always burn you. Every time. It may seem to feel good, but after a while it'll leave scars. All of us need to take this to heart. We've got to be careful about being drawn into a community that is not concerned about your spiritual life. Young people have got to take that to heart in public schools. Be careful about being drawn into a community that could care less whether or not you please Jesus or not. They don't care whether you honor God. They just want you to be up to date on the latest brands and the latest trends and the latest phrases that nobody in this world can understand. They don't care about your walk with God at all. And transition is dangerous because it makes us think it's time for change. So Peter allowed distance between himself and Christ. And then he sat among them or in the wrong circle. And then his third mistake was he chose to blend in rather than to be bold. See, we know the story. We're not going to read it all. Peter is confronted three times around the fire. Right? Those of you who know the story. Three times. He told Jesus, I'll die for you. A little girl and two men identify him as one of Christ's disciples. Here's bold Peter, who just six verses before cut a guy's ear off for Jesus Christ, but now he can't even admit to following Jesus Christ. He backed off from his commitment to the Lord, and he found himself less passionate about his commitment to the cause of Christ. There's no surprise, listen, when you distance yourself from Jesus, when you distance yourself from your spiritual influences, and you will also become less passionate about him as well. Your strength is directly connected to how tight you are with Christ. Do you hear me? When that happens, somebody else has to pick up the slack. Maybe in church ministry. In church ministry, listen, this isn't just for the young ladies. Things become undone, neglected, because we backed off of our commitment. There's a scramble. People have to buckle down. be more committed. Transition, I'm just saying, is not the time to fade out of serving the Lord. It's not the time to fade out of honoring God or giving our lives to Him. It's the time to be all in. Transition is the time to be all in for the Lord. What does that mean, being all in? It means nothing comes between me and God. It means there's no excuse good enough to keep me away. It means there's no task that needs done that's too inconvenient or below my level. It means there's no ministry I'm too good for. It means there's no service that I won't make it to, or if it's possible for me to make it, because I need that spiritual voice. There's no soul that I shouldn't witness to. All in means I'm a yes person. If God asks, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. All in means not out. That's what all in means. We say, well, that's pretty radical. That's true. In our culture, it is radical. Because most people treat Christianity as a club. If God fits, then great. But if there's not time, then there's not time. But you're talking about radical. I'm glad that God didn't fit me in as it was convenient. No, I would say he was pretty radical. When you consider the cross, and you consider the sacrifice, and you consider the pain that Jesus went through for my salvation and for your salvation, you realize that being all in really isn't all that radical, is it? Because Jesus went to the extreme for you. And when you're close to Christ, you're motivated to do more for him, and you can't help it. You want to be around the things of God. You're desiring the Word of God, and you desire the preaching of the Word of God because you see your sin and you see his grace. And I'm just saying, be all in, especially at this time in your life, at this time of transition, when there's changes, there's decisions, there's packing bags, there's going to college, there's meeting new people, and all of these sayings. And let me say, I mean, I know we have one going to fall in God's will into how God's leading in secular work, and a couple are going to a couple different Bible colleges. I just want to say, it doesn't matter, secular college or Bible college, doesn't make you automatically right with God. Be all in, because there's a lion watching. And when we're not as serious as we used to be, we are in the danger zone. And as soon as he can, the sifter will strike. Do you want to come out of the transition? Is your desire, young ladies, to come out of this transition unsifted? Is your desire, church family, and whatever transition is going on in your life, the new thing that's happening, do you want to come out of this unsifted, unaffected by Satan? You got to stay close to Christ. Don't allow distance to come between you and Christ. You got to stay connected to his circle, and don't find yourself in some other influence. And you've got to stay committed to his cause. Look at verse 61, please. The Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That sounds terrible. And it is sad. But there's also grace here. Because the Lord chose to look upon Peter. I'll tell you what, the conviction that overcame him at that moment, that's why he went out and wept bitterly. That conviction was indescribable. And can I say, the Lord's looked upon you, and you know what that feels like, don't you? You know that feeling when the Lord looks upon you, the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door and says, hey, I can see you. And an important thing here is the moment Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And I'm just saying, remember the word of the Lord. Because God's word took effect. And I know Peter went back to fishing. But not long after that, God uses him to do great things. thousands were saved because Peter went back to the Lord. Great days are ahead. Young ladies, great days are ahead. God wants to use you to make an effect for Him. And everybody in this room, great days are ahead in your life. No matter your age, God still wants to use you. If you're breathing, guess what? He still has a plan for your life. So who will stay close to Christ? Who will stay connected to His circle? And who will be committed to His cause? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'll stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for Your word. Thankful for the power of Your word. And Lord, this reminder. And Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for his faith because Satan desired to sift him as wheat. Well, Lord, help our faith in our time of transition as well. I pray for these young ladies, Lord. I pray You'd help them through this time and that they follow Your leadership. God, I just pray You'd help us to respond to what You'd have us to respond to, how You're working in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.